brought to you by Penguin.
The Water Dancer by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Read for you by Joe Morton. Part 1. My part has been to tell the story of the slave, the story of the master, never wanted for narrators. Frederick Douglass. Chapter 1. And I could only have seen her there on the stone bridge, a dancer wreathed in ghostly blue, because that was the way they would have taken her back when I was young, back when the Virginia earth was still red as brick and red with life. And though there were other bridges spanning the River Goose, they would have bound her and brought her across this one, because this was the bridge that fed into the turnpike, that twisted its way through the green hills and down the valley before bending in one direction, and that direction was south. I had always avoided that bridge, for it was stained with the remembrance of the mothers, uncles, and cousins gone Natchez way. But knowing now the awesome power of memory, how it can open a blue door from one world to another, how it can move us from mountains to meadows, from green woods to fields caked in snow, knowing now that memory can fold the land like cloth, and knowing, too, how I had pushed my memory of her into the down there of my mind, how I forgot, but did not forget, I know now that this story, this conduction, had to begin there on that fantastic bridge between the land of the living and the land of the lost. And she was patting Juba on the bridge, an earthen jar on her head, a great mist rising from the river below, nipping at her bare heels, which pounded the cobblestones, causing her necklace of shells to shake. The earthen jar did not move. It seemed almost a part of her, so that no matter her high knees, no matter her dips and bends, her splaying arms, the jar stayed fixed on her head like a crown. And seeing this incredible feat, I knew that the woman patting Juba, wreathed in ghostly blue, was my mother. No one else saw her, not Maynard, who was then in the back of the new Millennium chaise, not the fancy girl who held him rapt with her wiles, and most strange, not the horse, though I had been told that horses had a nose for things that stray out from other worlds and stumble into ours. No, only I saw her from the driver's seat of the chaise. And she was just as they'd described her, just as they'd said she'd been in the olden days when she would leap into a circle of all my people, Aunt Emma, young P. Honus, and Uncle John, and they would clap, pound their chests, and slap their knees, urging her on in double time, and she would stomp the dirt floor hard as if crushing a crawling thing under her heel, and bend at the hips, and bow, then twist, and wind her bent knees in union with her hands, the earthen jar still on her head. My mother was the best dancer at Lochless. That is what they told me. And I remember this because she had gifted me with none of it. But more, I remembered because it was dancing that brought her to the attention of my father, and thus had brought me to be. And more than that, I remembered because I remembered everything. Everything, it seemed, except her. It was autumn now, the season when the races came south. That afternoon Maynard had scored on a long-shot thoroughbred, and thought this might, at last, win the esteem of Virginia quality he sought. But when he made the circuit around the great town square, leaning back, way back in the chaise, and grinning large, the men of society turned their backs to him and puffed on their cigars. There were no salutes. He was what he would always be. Maynard the goof, Maynard the lame, Maynard the fool, the rotten apple who'd fallen many miles from the tree. He fumed and had me drive to the old house at the edge of our town, Starfall, where he purchased himself a night with a fancy, and had the bright notion to bring her back to the big house at Lochless, and most fatefully, in a sudden bout of shame, insisted on leaving the back way out of town, down Dumb Silk Road, until it connected to the old turnpike which led us back to the bank of the River Goose. A cold, steady rain fell as I drove, the water dripping down from the brim of my hat, puddling on my trousers. I could hear Maynard in the back with all his games putting his carnal boasts upon the fancy. I was pushing the horse as hard as I could because all I wanted was to be home and free.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?